Well, I thought that I was safe this morning. But it is.
You'll probably be safe next weekend. But
I hope. But it's a true blessing to be here with you all today. So many thoughts came to mind this morning, but one is one that I've been studying this weekend, and I'd like to try and draw a little bit out of this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm hoping to not take up too much time. In verse 14, well, let me give you some backstory real quick. Chapter 2, he's talking about the Apostle Paul. This is his second epistle to the church at Corinth. And if you've ever read the first Corinthian letter, it's pretty harsh. But the church had been going astray. And they needed correction. But it was correction in love. Now, what they had done and what the Apostle Paul, I'm not going to get into what they have done because it's not something that needs to be talked about right now. But in his 2 Corinthian letter, it talks about his love for them and why he had written to them in the first place. And in the second chapter, he starts out talking about how he's not going to come to them with heaviness. He kind of lays out his love for them and why they need to be doing what they ought to be doing. He talks a little bit about as well where he had gone and his desire to be with them. But then in verse 14, he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to try and go through these last four verses of this chapter. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." That section there, that little statement, "which causeth us to always to triumph in Christ." We triumph in Him every single day, everywhere we go. Now, this part here is talking, it's in twofold. It's talking about preaching. It is talking about the gospel administration because it's talking, he gets into that in chapter 3. But I think it also is very applicable to each of us in our daily walk. We give thanks to God because of Christ. We triumph in Him. And it's made known or manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. The savor of His knowledge. So, savor, when something is savory, it is it's delicious. The best way that I can think about it and the best way that I told somebody this week was that savor is, when it's something is sweet, savor, you hear that a lot throughout the Old Testament. When it's sweet, when God smelled that sweet savor, He delighted in it. When we are cooking a steak, which Scott and I like to do a lot of, as often as we can afford it, the smell of it is delicious. The sight of it is delicious. And we look forward to being able to taste it, right? But that taste doesn't happen until the right time. Right now, we get to smell a piece of it, to see a piece of it, but we don't get to taste it just yet. The savor, and make manifest the savor of His knowledge. Whose knowledge? God's knowledge. It's God's knowledge that we savor Him. We make it known to others by our walk, our daily walk, in every place, whether it be our conversation with people, whether it be in the workplace and how we conduct ourselves, or even here in the church. It's all about the Lord in our daily walk. That's how it should be. "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, of Christ. Now that, please forgive me for this. The way that I saw this when I first read it was that Christ was that wonderful offering, that perfect offering. And in fact, let me take you back to Genesis. I'm sorry, little buddy. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar. This is the first time that burnt offerings that I have found, and I could be wrong, but the first time that I've found burnt offerings where the Lord smelled it. And Noah builded an altar. Actually, I take that back. There was Abel, but... And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from the youth, from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. In all of the services that took place, where offerings were made of meat, later on of also cakes, and even meal. The Lord smelled that offering, and he delighted in it. It was a sweet-smelling savor to him, and that is what we are. But the only way that we are that way is because of Christ, not because of anything that we have done. Our works will never, ever get us to heaven, so to speak. It's not by our works, but of the work of Jesus Christ. For we are unto God, back in 2 Corinthians, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. That's how Christ sees us. That's how God sees us, is a sweet savor, his offering, in them that are saved and in them that are in them that perish. Now, this next verse goes on to describe the 15th verse. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. So, to the one, on one hand, we are the savor of death unto death. Death unto death, many people, I would say that all of you have smelled a dead animal. It's not a pleasant smell. It is very grotesque. I would definitely never eat it, but it is not pleasant. Those are the goats. Those are not the elect children of God. But on the other hand, boy, the other hand. That other hand is of Christ and of his elect children that he died for, and we are the savor of life unto life. We are pleasant smelling. We are delicious to him. He came and he died for us, and therefore we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? God is sufficient. Not us. It's not by our works or anything that we could have ever done. It is only by the Lord. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. We are unique. That is the best way that I can think of to put it. We are special in his eyes because we follow the truth. We do everything that we can to follow after the truth. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We cannot even speak to him unless it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But as of sincerity, that means you are true to it. You hold to it. You mean it. You feel it down here. You know, people used to, and I still do it every now and again, we sign off our letters with sincerely, so-and-so. That means that you meant what you said. You mean it. As of sincerity, but as of God, meaning it gets no higher than that. It's to God, and God alone, and because of God and Him alone, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. He goes on to talk about, why do we need commendation for that? We don't. We don't. We don't need letters of epistles. We don't need anything like that. You and I in our daily walks, chapter 3, verse 2, are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In our daily walks, it tells people who we are. As God-fearing people, people that love the Lord, that want to continue to follow after Him and love Him and show the good works that are of the Lord. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tablets of the heart. This is where the Lord resides.
Yes.
It's not on some stone tablet somewhere. I still hear people talking about trying to find certain things like the Ark of the Covenant or whatever. And that stuff, it's fairy tale. That stuff is not what matters. What matters, I say fairy tale, it was real.
It was real.
But it's not what matters. What matters is what's in here, where Christ is. Where the Holy Spirit wells us up inside, where we can follow after Him and follow after everything that is in here. His Spirit is living within us. As I tried to state last week, we are not our own. We are not. This body is not ours. It's of the Lord. It's of the Holy Ghost. We are His. And as we continue to walk, day by day, our epistle continues to be written. We show others outside of this place how wonderful the Lord is each and every day that we walk. In our conversations with folks, everything is because of Christ. We are the sweet savor of Him. We always have been since He went to the cross. Since He shed His perfect blood and died and rose again for our sins. Praise be unto God.
Amen, amen.
Brother, come ahead.
Amen. Bless you. Bless me, brother. Thank you. Love you.
It is so encouraging to see the Lord blessing our brothers and sisters coming up in the faith. I've known Brother Seth ever since he was a baby, and now to see him grow up to be a man, be a father himself, and from what I see, the Lord has blessed him perhaps even more beyond what we might expect. I'm just happy. I'm very happy, very thankful. Lord blessed him, blessed me in the lesson. I was looking at those texts he was at, and I was like, I don't know what those texts mean. And then he explained them to me. Now, y'all remember what Brother Seth said. Who is going to have kind of a tie-in, but sort of yes, sort of no. But at least you've got some good comfort food. This might be a little bit more of Christian living or godliness. But I want to turn to the book of Luke in chapter 6 and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as He speaks to His apostles. And it's now recorded in the scriptures. Now He speaks to us and the lessons that He gave to the apostles. One that we should take heed to, and one that I have been especially preaching to myself since I read this and studied this on Friday. This, I'll let you know when we get to it. It contains one of my favorite scriptures, and it's a scripture that I have never tried to speak on because it's concerning the subject of giving. And I've been ordained for 36 years, and I have never tried to speak on that, mainly because I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to gain money or that I think that the church is not doing enough. That's not it at all. If I was preaching for money, I wouldn't be preaching for the Primitive Baptist. I know exactly how to do that. I've been told by ministers what to do to get money out of people's pocket. I find that to be very offensive and against the scriptures, and it is not anything that is encouraged or taught by the scriptures. The very opposite is taught to us. We are to preach for the glory of the Lord and to feed the flock of God. But no, this has been preaching to myself and about my obligation to the Lord, as the Lord has blessed us, as Brother Seth has preached to us. In the 6th chapter of Luke, our Lord says, "And as ye," in verse 31, "and as ye would do, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." That's what we would call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want folks to have a good idea, a good thought, to do good to you, you should first do good unto them. Then he asks a series of questions. "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Here's my favorite, verse 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." It's one of my all-time favorites. And it's right next to one of my least favorite scriptures, loving your enemies. I'm just a human being. I'm not proud of it. Not proud of my depravity and not proud of my sinful tendencies. But I'm the first, and ought to be the first, to declare it, and that when I try to study and speak on these types of scriptures, they are hitting me right in the face and stepping on all 10 of my toes. And I hope and pray that by the study of these and application, put these in my life, I will be a better member of the Primitive Baptist Church, be a better human being, and be better in the roles that I play in life, and that the Lord would be served better. And oftentimes that when we see that word "give," we think only of money, but that's not the only thing that it's talking about. As a matter of fact, this very weekend, all of us have the opportunity to give much. We are going to be giving of our time, yes, of our finances. We are going to be giving of our physical effort. We are going to be trying to take care of a lot of people to make sure that they are taken care of and that they have a good time. We want them to feel at home at the meeting coming up. We're going to be blessed to have at our house, starting on Tuesday, 9 people staying until it's time to go to the camp meeting. I cannot wait. 6 of them are going to be little, small children. Oh, boy. Can't wait. Can't wait for that. We're going to have a good time. They want to come to see Brother Dave and Sister Leslie. They want to come to the camp meeting. They want to see us, stay with us, and then we're all going to go down to the meeting. I will be glad when they say unto me, let us go down to Stratton to the house of God. I'm going to be happy because I get to go to church. I don't have to go. I get to go. I'm not going to have these folks stay with me. I get to have them stay with me. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to try to provide for them. I'm going to make sure they get what they want, what they need. I'm going to try to get them the best Mexican food I can. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to put it on their plates. I'm going to say, eat it all, and I'm not going to present a bill. I'm not going to expect them to pay me a dime. If they try, I'll say, give it to the church, give it to the meeting. I'm not doing it for money. I'm not doing it for praise. I'm not doing it to feel good about myself. I'm doing it because I want to do it, and that we are to be given to hospitality, and that we are to treat others the way we want to be treated, and that these are my best friends. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. They are my fellow members of the Old Baptist Church, and that they speak my language, and that they are in my heart, and I prefer them above all other people, and that I get to have now an opportunity to provide as I have been provided. So, yes, I'm going to give. I'm not bragging about it. Nothing to brag about. It's expected. It's expected of me. It's expected of us. Why should we brag about something that we're expected to do? However, it is not. I do not want to miss the fact to tell you that in the process of giving, of freely giving, God loveth a cheerful giver, not of constraint. As a man of purpose in his own heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, but willingly. God loveth a cheerful giver. And so we're going to cheerfully give. And in that cheerful giving, and that we provide, what do y'all know that we get something back? That there is a earnest and interest. There is a, may I say, that God in the observation of his sheep doing good to one another, that they are showing the love that he showed them in sending his son to die for their sins and answering their prayers and building for them a church and giving them a house that they can dwell and occupy and informing them of the good news of salvation by grace. All that is a love offering of God that he bestowed upon us at no price whatsoever. And then that what he desires is that we would feel that love of God, which passeth all understanding. And that we would show that love toward each other. And that when the Lord looks down and sees that, he opens the windows of heaven and he pours out to us a blessing. And I love the way it's described in this verse. He says, it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Not just a partial payment. Not just not very good stuff, but good measure. An extra measure. And he said, it's pressed down. You know, you ever get something, you ever like buy something, might get a bag of flour or get something, and they'll say, well, contents may have settled during shipping. Well, they didn't put enough in it then. I'm getting gypped here. Well, some settling might have happened. Well, no, you didn't fill it up all the way. God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do when you provide for my sheep, when you give out of your substance, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to press it down. And then he says, I'm going to shake it. Going to get rid of all the air pockets that it settles down, and when it settles down, I'm going to pour more on top of that to the point that it is overflowing. I love what David said. He said, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. That means what he's saying is this: what I have in the Lord's kingdom, the of his dominion that he has bestowed upon me, that it is so pleasant, it's more than I could ever ask for. And then he would say, my cup runneth over. I believe he said that. My cup runneth over. Brother Bruce was making coffee and it overflowed. I said, Brother Bruce, your cup runneth over. You've got more coffee than you expected. Amen. We get more grace than we expected. We extend love. We extend of our gifts, of our talents, of what the Lord has worked in us, that we now work out and give willingly, freely, cheerfully. And that God looks down and says, why? I'm going to give that back to you and then some. I think about the parable of the talents. I think about the one that got five, and then another got, what was it, two or three? Well, I think it was 10, 5, and 1. That's what it was. Yeah. One got 10, one got 5, the other got 1. And the first two, they put theirs to work, and when they came back and gave their report to the Lord, they had extra. They had made a profit. But the last one, well, I heard that you're an austere man, and I buried mine. I buried it, and here it is. And that the Lord was upset with him. You know what he did? He took it away from him. And he gave it to the one that had 10. Now, it's going to sound a little harsh, but it's one of my pet peeves. I've heard preachers come and say, well, I'm a one-talent preacher. You know what I say to them? I hope you don't wind up being a one-talent preacher. You may have gotten one talent. I really think I got one. I hope I put it to use. I hope at the end of my ministry, I'm not a one talent. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's five. But I know that if we study and we meditate and we pour ourselves out for the Lord's people, and that we labor and that we have the care and the concern for the church and for the Lord's sheep, and that we are faithful overseers and under shepherds of the flock, and that we feed the flock of God, and that we feed the sheep and we feed the lambs. Amen. We don't just feed the amen corner. I was going to get on to you about something that you didn't do, Brother Seth. But I see this a lot in young preachers. They preach the amen corner. And I say, those aren't your sheep. Sheep are out there. You preach to these people. These preachers, yeah, we're giving you help. We're giving you amens. But I'm yelling at you right now. Preach to the sheep. Preach to the lambs. Where the lambs can understand it. Where they could say, we've been in house, we've been in the church today, we've walked with God today. And they'll give God the glory. And if we pour ourselves out in concern in doing that, my friends, God fills us up again. We think about the loaves and the fishes, where they had five loaves and two small fish. That's right, small fish, not even big fish. Not even big fish, brought by a little boy. Little boy brought that, they took his lunch. The Lord did. How about that? I didn't hear the boy griping about it. I would have griped. He took my lunch. Why didn't they bring their own lunch? Well, I tell you what. I tell you, y'all know what happened. The Lord multiplied it, distributed it, and at the end, they had more than when they started. Has it ever happened to you, my beloved, that you've come to the house of God? Maybe you didn't feel like coming to church. Maybe you just felt like, I just need to stay home and I don't have the drive, the initiative. You kind of come in dragging and you walk out skipping. You walk out just leaping with joy because God took that little pitiful, and I'm talking about me, sacrifice that I brought to the house of God. God took it, multiplied it, fed me again, and I leave full. I came in empty and I leave full. Now, I'll tell you what, my friends. Naomi said, I left full and came back empty. Well, that's because you left. You left the house of God. You left Bethlehem, the house of bread. You left it. But guess what? It wasn't too long that Naomi said, what do you got? And Ruth just poured out all that grain. And she said, whose field were hidden? Where did you go? I went to man named Boaz. I think his name was Boaz. Yeah, I think it was. Was it Boaz? You pronounce it? She goes, he's a near kinsman.
Yeah.
Sit still, my daughter. Sit still. He's going to finish this thing today. Man, he was. Because you saw that. You saw what did Ruth bring to that field? An empty sack. A stranger. Not even knowing whose field it was. Her hap was the light on the field belonging to Boaz. Happenstance. Happenstance to Ruth. Providence on God's end. Providence, God providentially. What did she have? What did she offer Boaz? You know what Boaz saw? He saw the purity of her heart, her sincerity, and her faithfulness. He said, it's been fully reported unto me of all the things that she wanted. All Ruth had to offer was just let me abide with you. Let me know your God. Let me live with you. Let me die with you. That's about all I have. My friends, that's about all I bring to the church. Just let me live with you. Let me die with you.
Amen.
Let me worship with you. Let me call you brother and sister. I don't have much. When I felt the call to preach, I thought first time God ever made a mistake. I didn't think I could do it. I couldn't do it without God. Let me tell you this. I begged the Lord. I said this in a prayer to God when I felt the call. I said, Lord, you either, you're going to have to remove my fear of talking in public. Or I don't know what. The Lord says, I'm going to remove your fear of talking in public. And then when you need it, I'm going to give that fear back to you so you know who to depend on. That's what he did. There are times that I seize up. I get panic attacks. Lord, save. I'm getting in the way. That's all I have. That's all I've got, friends. Lord has given me some few things. But when we bring our few things together, I remember that sermon you on such as I have. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. That such as we have is what came from the hand of Almighty God, my friends. What you have, what gift you possess, if that's your such as you have, you bring that and we all bring it together, and you know God just takes that and just multiplies it. And we're sitting in the field now. We're on the grass. And we've got bread and fish coming our way. And he doesn't stop until we're all filled. And then, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know why? You're going to need it tomorrow. You're going to need it on Thursday. You're going to need it on Wednesday. You're going to need it next week. Don't let anything be lost. Have you ever just, you know, you went to church and you had a good meeting, and then maybe later on you thought about a point that the brother made and you thought, that's really helping me right now. You didn't need it then, but you need it now. Now, what can this church get by without us, any of us? Yes. Yes, it can. Yes. It can get by real easy without me. It can get by without Brother Sonny. It can get by without, well, sort of, yes. Yeah. And it was okay. Because that makes me feel good, brother. Because God still loves the church. That he is not going to let his people suffer. He's not holding the blessings of the church hostage because somebody can't do what they have been doing. God says, I will feed my people. I will feed you. He fed me on a hospital bed. He fed me on a sick bed. He fed me when I was away from the flock of God. He fed me even when I left. the flock of God. He gave me a vision of the church and restored me, and I came running back. So what is my sacrifice? What if I have to brag about? Give. Because here it is. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I can't win for losing. That probably don't make a lick of sense, but it sounded good. I can't win. I win. We're more than conquerors. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal shall it be measured unto you again. Now, what do y'all think that means? When the Lord said, it says, shall men give into your bosom. What do y'all think that means? I used to think it means he's going to bless your heart. He's going to make your heart warm. Did our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us, by the way? Sure, they're being fed. But I found a very interesting point about this. Back in those days, in the way that the folks would dress, they had an inner garment and they had an outer garment. And then they folded in such a way that it formed a pocket right here. And that's where they put their wallets, their cell phones, their keys, their remotes. Oh, that was way back then. They're pagers. Right? Yeah. They're Palm Pilots. Yeah, it was back in the day. That's where they kept things. Solomon said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? It's this little pocket here. So if you've heard the expression, well, it's money in your pocket. The only one who can back that up is God. Usually some salesman saying, you give me this and you're going to, yeah, I promise you, money in your pocket. Yeah, right. The only one you can trust to say that is the Lord. So you give time in prayer. The Lord returns that time back to you. You give your finances. The Lord returns it. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. You give of your physical labor. The Lord will give you rest in that labor. We give of our, just of our, all. Because the Lord has already given us his all. And as I've heard folks say, you can't outgive the Lord. Well, yeah, right. Of course you can't. Let me just read one more scripture to you. This is found in the book of Proverbs in the 3rd chapter. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, that's good measure. Pressed down, running over. And the opposite of this is the man who had all this said, I'm going to build bigger barns and fill them full. And the Lord says, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And what about all this? Solomon would write about what good is it, you know, you gather all this, you heap up only to leave it to an ungrateful child. But what I'm saying is this. It is with great, I think about what the Lord said at the last Passover, he says, with great joy, with great desire, have I desired to eat this with you. Why don't we just call off next weekend? Why don't we just cancel it? It's going to be too hot, you know. You know it's probably going to be 107 degrees. You know, all these people are coming. That's going to require a lot to feed these people. Air conditioner is probably going to break down. They've had transformer problems down there before. I heard a tropical depression may be coming through. Oh, remember that time that hurricane went through? Well, that was a fun time. Remember all the fun we had? Well, y'all had. I watched you do it. Y'all don't want to do it. Well, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to put out all that hard work, all that trouble, all that worry? Because what you get out of it far exceeds what you put into it. And because we all have a desire to worship and honor the Lord, and we like being together, and we get a joy out of that giving that exceeds whatever it takes to give, whatever we did give, there is a great, wonderful blessing. And so I remember one time a friend of mine invited me to come. He was to their church, not a Primitive Baptist. He said, I want you to come. I want you to come, Dave. I want you to come to this meeting. We're having a meeting. We're having a revival, all that. Preacher coming. And he talked me into it. Well, he didn't talk me into it. He said, like, we have supper before church. Well, that talked me into it. I said, okay. Well, it can't be bad. They're having supper. I said, well, kind of like a potluck? He goes, yeah. I go, like, well, that's what we do. Okay. This, it may not be so bad. And I went down there. They had a tray, plate, utensils. Oh, they had tons of food. I was like, just loading it up. I did not know that at the end of that line was a lady with a cash register. I did not know that. And the more I put on my plate, the more I had to pay that lady. And I thought, the day that the old Baptists do something like that is the day that I'm going to preach a sermon to them. Because we're going to quit that. We're going to quit before that ever gets started. You know why? The Lord has fed us abundantly without charge. The Lord has saved us without charge. The Lord did not wait for us to accept Him to save us, to bless us, to feed us, to give us the abundant life that He has invited us in. Come in, ye blessed of the Father. We are blessed to be in that. And as I believe there's a scripture that says, to whom much is given, shall much be required. I can't pay back what the Lord has done for me. But I can try to be a blessing to other people because it warms my heart. And the joy of seeing my friends in Christ being where my home is and blessing them with whatever I can. As we work this weekend, let us remember the joys that we will get from the Lord far exceeds what we put into it. And if you see me standing there doing nothing and there's something that needs to be done, y'all tell me to do something. Brother Tom, please tell me what to do, because I'm just going to sit there and do nothing unless some of y'all tell me what to do. Now, I will be a good brother. I will amen. I won't go too far with it, Brother Sonny. I will try to be... He knows what I mean. Sermon's over, by the way. This is just me talking. See, he closes his Bible, thus the sermon is over. So I'm just going to share with you just a few thoughts. I really feel, I really feel to be a part of this camp meeting. Jeb told me I'm an honorary member, okay. But I'm not, I need y'all to help show me what I need to do. And may the, because I like to be a part of things. Especially something as wonderful and blessed as this. And I'm your PR guy. I've got a lot of folk. I'll go over and I'll tell people, you haven't been to an old Baptist meeting until you've been to the Camp Meeting of Texas. And I have been going to this camp meeting since 1972 and have loved it and some of the greatest memories of my life. I look forward to this, Lord willing. I will see y'all this Thursday, and may the Lord bless that meeting and bless those to come. May they come in safety, and may the Lord meet us there. And then when it's all over, we will say that we always say, I'm tired, but it's a good tired. And it was a pleasure. We have walked with God for 4 days. That sounds pretty good to me, don't you? May the Lord richly bless you now is my prayer. We will sing a hymn and have an opportunity.
for those who would like to come and take up the cross and follow the Lord and become a member of the Old Baptist Church, we wait upon you as the Scriptures would authorize. We'll ask Brother Seth to come up and give you an opportunity to wish him Godspeed, to thank him for his studies, thank the Lord for blessing him. Do we have a number?
125.
125? House of the